Hello there, my podcast people. Okay, never mind. That sounded way better in my head. Just wanted to reach out to you guys here with a little announcement just for us on the audio version. Moving forward, my plan is to have these release first thing on Thursday mornings. So I'll be making them go live overnight between Wednesday and Thursday in hopes that as soon as you wake up on Thursday, you can hit the episode on the ground running. Cool? Man. All right. Well, there's some pretty cool stuff happening in this episode. Specifically, stay tuned for the announcements. I think those are pretty important, and they're at the end. So thanks, everybody. I hope you guys are enjoying, and I'll catch you all every Thursday morning on here. Cool. Thanks. Bye. Fucked up again. Hello!
What was it this time? What was it this time, Elan?
It was literally the same thing that happened last time because I fixed it and then I forgot to save.
What was it?
So the way this works is it's all automated, right? Because we live in the future now. And the AI likes to go rogue. I'm kidding. It's not AI. Essentially, all it does is it plays the intro, and then it's supposed to put us underneath the intro because it's got, like, what do you call it? The alpha channel, so you can see us. And then when the intro goes away, we'll be here. But something broke when I was fixing everything, and now we're here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Five, the show where we have technical difficulties. We talk about everything, and then sometimes we talk about fighting games. My name is Elon, and I'm joined by the legend,
David Paul Matic. That's my government.
Ooh.
Also known as Jibbo back in the days, now Automatic.
Mm-hmm. The owner of the world's strongest lab.
Right.
Yeah.
Thinking of my imaginations that I created into reality.
Mm-hmm. You know what they say, I don't know. I had nothing. I don't know where that was even going.
Did you try to, like, did you have a sentence queued up to, like, you can think of the thing to say after it? You know what they say.
Dude,
dang, I didn't think of it in time.
What was it? I heard somebody use this term the other day, and it's, I don't know if it's necessarily 100% PC, but I find it kind of funny. They called the streamer brain all streamers, where sometimes your brain just doesn't work. So, nothing sticks. But anyway, before we get into the show, let's talk about us because, you know, that's the most important part of the show. I got injured this week. I have a foot injury and I went to the gym and just like stood around for an hour just to like get out of my house and then came back. I thought I was going to be able to at least like do an arm workout, but I was in so much pain that I wasn't having it. So
you stood. What do you mean? You stood around like a wallflower at the club, just like
I did like a couple of like spine stretches. Like I did a little bit of like what's it called?
Roller?
No, I didn't do the roller, but I just did some stretches, and then like my legs were feeling great, but my foot was not. I had surgery on my left foot, and sometimes it doesn't like to exist. And I think we had a pretty significant cold snap on Monday, so I think that might have done it, or maybe it's something else. I don't know. I'm getting better though, so that's fun. Another thing before we start the show, I noticed something that I wanted to call out. Friend of the show, Alex Jabaley, tweeted this out. Celebrate Tekken 8's launch and the fun I'm having playing it. I'm offering CEO 2024 discount code. 5% off if you use Ethernet user and get a 25% markup using promo code Wi-Fi user. Now, he's full of shit. That code does not work. It is invalid and or expired. So, Jabaley, I am disappointed. I think we lost. Oh, there you are.
I was trying to organize my windows and have a little here. Got here. And I was like, I don't need this window. I want We're running a very well-oiled machine over here.
Yeah. Well, look, every entity has growing pains, right? And we're going through our growing pains. And constant real and old pains.
Leg pains, foot pains, back pains, head pain.
How about yourself, Automatic? What's been good with in the lab, in the automatic world?
I think I fixed my computer, so that's really great news. Just had to not only turn it off and turn it back on, but just reinstall Windows totally. I think I'm up and running now. Ooh. Maybe I can check drivers.
Whoa! Okay, that's exciting. You can finally like take off like the weighted vest that you've been playing with.
Actually,
for months.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
damn. We'll see. I can't wait to see that. Cool. So, we got quite a bit of stuff to go over. We have reviews. Automatic has been playing a lot of Uni 2. I've been playing a lot of Tekken 8. The Streamer Awards is up on voting now, and I gotta tell you, man, you saw what I was saying. I'm a little bit upset with our FGC friends who are up there. Am I upset because I'm not up there? Maybe a little bit, but I think my point is still valid. My point is still valid.
A little bit jilted. Jilted, I think the word is.
Jilted. I like that. I'm going to use that. And last but not least, we have, I said this yesterday, we have announcements on announcements. On announcements. But before we do any of that, Automatic, you know what time it is?
What time it is?
It's time for the weekly recap. And we're back with another edition of the Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek Memorial. He's not dead, he just retired. Weekly recap. We're going all the way to Los Angeles for the Dragon Ball World Tour Finals. And Hikari is your grand champion. He is now the Dragon Ball, taking it over Wade in the grand finals. Kane from France taking the big bronze medal. Inzern all alone in fourth place. Zane and Kasuga tying for fifth. And Lucar and Icon rounding out the rest of the top eight. Congratulations, everybody, on the DBFZ World Tour of 2023-2024. Next, we're flying all the way to Chicago, the big Midwest major. Frosty Faustings was this past week. We're starting with Grand Blue versus Zippy. Blitz's Zippy winning the Grand Blue versus Rising Bracket, earning himself a spot in the Arc World Tour Finals, taking it over Z-Rom in the Grand Finals. Kinari taking the bronze medal. Paragon's Aaron DeMack taking the fourth place. Tempest, this is not the last we'll see of Tempest here at Frosty, tying for fifth, along with Shenku and Tirara from Japan. Bushkahaluj. If it's Portuguese, that means getting light. So, congratulations to everybody. Let's keep it going. We're going to the first ever tournament for Under Night in Birth 2. This game released this past week, for those of you that don't know. And the winner is Defiant, earning himself a spot in the Arc World Tour Finals over Big Black in the Grand Finals. Salty taking the bronze medal. 2 GB combo taking the fourth place. Papa Pesto and CG sharing the fifth spot. And Spoinkman and Untold Melody rounding out the rest of the top eight, time for seventh. Last but not least in the Arc World Tour Trio, we're going to Guilty Gear Strive. Umisho once again sealing her invitation to the Arc World Tour Finals for the second year in a row, taking it over last year's champion Tempest NYC in a pretty close match, came down to the last round. Slash all the way from Saudi Arabia taking the bronze medal. Leffen taking the fourth spot. Apology Man and Lord Knight sharing the fifth place spot. And Rat and the UK's Tiger Pop rounding out the rest of the top eight, tying for seventh. Now we're taking it over to Street Fighter 6. Punk taking the first win of the year for Street Fighter 6 over Duel Kevin. For those of you that were watching last week, Duel Kevin earning his second place means I had to pay Automatic for some quesabirria. Ramsey taking the bronze medal. The Midwest's own Just a Kid taking the fourth place. Eli the Curry and JB tying for fifth. And Liquid's Riddles and Najee tying for seventh. And last but not least, the first Tekken 8 major taken by Austin, Texas' own Sikobi, double jeopardying Liquid Shadow. Also, before we go on, fun fact, I once put Sikobi in the loser's bracket at an arcade UFO tournament. So, clearly I'm also the best. Afterburn taking the bronze medal. Battery taking the fourth. In Veins and Mazin tying for fifth, and KNR and Jimmy Pikachu Choi rounding out the rest of the top eight, tying for seventh. And this has been your weekly recap.
We did it.
How many? It sounded like you did that in very few takes. Like, I heard a couple cuts, like, between the rankings, but man, that was pretty good, man.
Oh, no. I'm a professional video editor, if you don't know that. So, there's a lot of this.
Well, they're really clean. You got, like, one syllable attached to the other, make a smooth transition. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. But no, that was good, man.
Cool.
I got some laughs out of it.
Also, did you purchase your case of birria yet? Because I sent you the money.
Not quite. I got the money. I did.
Okay. We'll have to have you eat it on the show or something, or at least take a picture of it.
Oh yeah.
I need the receipts. But yeah, Frosty's was pretty cool to watch. I watched some Tekken 8. Tekken 8 was super fun to watch. I watched a little bit of Uni 2. Uni 2 was, I usually don't like watching Uni 2 just because, like, it's a lot of things happening and I feel dumb watching it. But I enjoyed the shit out of it. I enjoyed the shit out of Uni 2. I also watched a little bit of the Guilty Gear Strive. Seeing Yumisho win is pretty cool. For those of you that don't know, I was one of the creative producers for the content of the Arc World Tour last year. So I got to work closely with Umisho. I got to work with Tempest and all the players that were there, both for Guilty Gear and for DNF Duel. So I like all those people. They're cool. So I'm happy freaking to see awesome, them do man. Well. Yeah, I'm cool. Happy to see them do well, man. Anyway, that's the recap. So we have recapped the recap. And now it's time for you, with your own cap, to give us a review, because Uni 2 came out this past week, and I've been seeing you play a lot of it, and it looks like you're having fun.
I mean, it'll be like 9 p.m. I usually don't stream past 7 p.m. It'll be 9 p.m., wife's asleep, baby's asleep. All right, let me turn the stream off for a few hours. Next thing I know, it's 2 a.m. I can't sleep after I'm done playing. My fingers are on fire. Yeah, I like, needless to say, I think the game is great. And I think what we're going to talk about here is three things that I like and three things that are hard to say, but are not so good about the game, I suppose. Maybe there's some bad things. Well, I don't know where to start here with this game, because typically I'm really suspicious when it even comes to anime games. Someone recommends me an anime game, I'm like, dude, you got to really sell me on this. So long story short, somebody I met in my Twitch chat who happened to live down the street, who was a Twitch cop, he was like, you got to play Uni 2. And then Uni 1, it was one of the later editions, maybe about 2 years ago. And we went to arcade, and he was like, you got to play this game. I'm like, okay, fine. And immediately, I was able to beat him. Because the game, the fundamentals carry over. Like, immediately I knew, okay, this is an anti-air. This is how I finish my combos. And I happened to pick a character who had some similar qualities to, like, the twins Yang and Young, Dive Kick, Rekka, Uppercut, Enkidu. So I had a blast as soon as I picked it up. And I knew the game would be very complex, which is the first thing that I think is really good about this game. That whole thing where you pick it up and it feels good to play, but there's also a lot of room for growth and, like, sort of questions of, like, how can I make this one hit better? Because there's so many different things that change under different circumstances. So there's so many system mechanics, but initially when you pick it up, you may not even be aware of what those mechanics are, but you feel like the game is good. The input delay is really low, surprisingly low for, like, compared to other fighting games. So the hits feel really good and rewarding, and the combos are pretty easy to string together, at least initially. Optimizing it is pretty tough. So because Uni 2 has introduced rollback, the other thing that's really great about this is, although it was already a thriving community and tournaments were always exciting for the community, I think now it's becoming a little bit more mainstream because it has that rollback online and it's easier to actually play the game online. Part of the reason why I stopped playing the previous Hunter Knight is because I couldn't really play. I had to gather a group of friends. Literally, I called up people on the phone and I streamed the whole thing, and it was a blast, but it only lasts for so long. And because of the delay-based netcode, once you get good at a game, you really start to feel where the delay is making something work when it really shouldn't work, be as effective. And that's what happened to me when I played against Ryan Hunter. It was like, I was supposed to block that over, wasn't I? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, with that in mind, the rollback netcode is, I think, just going to give this game a much brighter future, even though it's already a good game. And the third thing that's really cool about this game is probably something that is, it's not really related to the fighting itself, but the music is really cool. The composer, Raito, you've probably seen many YouTube videos where you have heard some music and you're like, what is that? It comes from Undernight. It's from this game. So it's really awesome. So let me try to say some things that are a little tough about this game, maybe bad. One of those things is that complexity. As cool as it is, and as much as I like it, it's hard to find my spot as a player in this game right now, because I'm a lot better than people who are just picking it up, because fundamentals carry a lot of weight. But I just get trashed by everybody who has experience in this game, because I don't know matchups, I don't know what a character's doing, I don't know if that's plus, I don't know if that's safe, I don't know what's invincible, I don't know if they have some kind of option select, I don't know how to deal with that, I don't know, like, it's just a bunch of questions to me that are hitting me from all different directions and angles, so that part is a little frustrating, but it is very rewarding. Not to flip it into something good, it's very rewarding. Oh man, it's very rewarding when I lose to somebody two matches in ranked, and then I play them in a player match, and then they win seven games, and again, I'm like, all right, then I win two games, then I win three games, then I win five games. The download feels so good. Once I understand how things work, and I start winning, it's good. The other thing is that there are some sort of technical difficulties with the game, as far as on PC, it was crashing for various reasons, and the ranked matches didn't even work on the first day. They have since, I would say, improved that. It doesn't, I believe, display the connection quality accurately. Because every match I play, it says like 500 MS. It's just not true. And there's no crossplay crashes. But it seems like they're working their way towards making it a better experience. And the third thing would be the single player content. It's not exactly on Street Fighter VI quality, Mortal Kombat quality. I wouldn't say it's nothing, or it's sort of bare bones. That's the arcade, the storyline, some voice acting with the text kind of thing, time attack mode, score, high score kind of thing. None of those things are my MO anyways, but I'd like for there to be a little bit more robust, some activities for people who are not really into getting to like the high levels of fighting game, kind of that kind of mentality. So that's it. I think Under Night is awesome, and I can't wait to play it more and suffer.
So, if you were to give it a 1 out of 5 score, what would you give it?
Ooh. Somewhere between a 4 and a 5. I guess 4.5.
4.5? Okay. I like your your track to that answer. Between a 4 and a 5. 4.5.
Yeah, 5 seems like it's too much, and 4, I mean, it's not perfect, but I think it's excellent.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And we were talking a little bit before the show, and I am a fiend for Undernight combo trials, man. I will sit there and try the Gordo combo trials all day and have a blast, even if I like only get one after like a play session.
I wonder why that is. They're not as hard as like KOF trials, mm-hmm. but I think it's also related to just how satisfying the characters animations, the possibilities, like, well, that works, you could do that. It feels like every character in that game is top tier. It's like, how's this character not the best? Every character, when I pick them up, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, no, and I think, to your point, too, I think they did such a good job of making things seem like you're threading a needle, right? So, like you said, like, it feels super rewarding to, like, when you get that combo, or when you, like, get a punish, or when you get an OS right, or whatever. Speaking of which, the tutorials in that game are pretty cool. They're like, hey, here's how you do an option select. You idiot.
They're absurd.
So it's pretty cool that like they teach you like complex concepts in the tutorial mode, even though like sometimes it's a little bit obtuse, right? Like mm-hmm. imagine like somebody who is not a competitive fighting game player trying to figure out what an option select is,
But the cool thing is that translates to other fighting games. So that mm-hmm. could be a gateway to getting better at some other stuff, having a different idea. Like, oh, can I apply that somewhere else? Like, it's actually a really good – you should buy that just for the competitive investment.
Yeah. No, The fact that you used gateway is exactly, I think, the term, right? Because you talked about how fundamentals carry over. And I think Under Night and Birth, the first one, was like my gateway into anime games. So I totally 1,000% agree with you there. So I'm a fan.
Yeah. Part of my hesitation with anime games is because I don't want to get divorced if I'm in a crouching position against a lady fighter of some sort. And then it's like, what are you doing? Nothing. It's just a game. I play fighting games.
Yeah. No, I used to play Giovanna in Strive, and I switched to Bedman for that exact reason. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, she got nerfed. And I'm lucky enough that I like Gordo in Under Night, so we're clear there. Okay. First of all, thank you for giving that very dope review, as it were, for Under Night 2. I'm a fan.
I got
I'm
one more sound bite. Do if it I up. Had to put it in the simple terms, it's like Third Strike and Marvel 2 put together.
Mm-hmm. So like a baby. Like a Marvel 2 Third Strike baby.
Yeah, like the offense and aggression of Marvel, but also the patience and the management of Third Strike also is there as well.
Damn, that's awesome. And everybody in chat and everybody at home, if you're listening to this, or if you're driving to work or whatever, give Automatic a round of applause for that. Great.
Give yourself a round. Everybody gets an applause.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I came up to you, what was it, like either yesterday or today, and I was like, hey, you're doing a review of this. And you were like, oh, okay.
And that was today.
That was today, yeah. So I set you up for failure, and you've succeeded with flying colors. Congratulations.
Not bad. I was about to ask, did I go too long? Did I? Oh, no. Is this going to fit in the 8-minute YouTube video? I don't know.
It's perfect. It's perfect. Okay, so you took the uni half, and I spent most of my weekend playing Tekken 8. Well, some of my weekend playing Tekken 8, because there were a couple of issues. Now, let's get into this shenanigans, if we will. Tekken 8 came out on Thursday afternoon-ish. It was at like 5 o'clock p.m. The game came out immediately. It was a blast, right? Like, just looking at the game is beautiful. Seeing things happen in the game. At first, I thought it was going to be a little bit too much, right? Because they have the new heat system and counter hit stuff, like the camera changes and shenanigans. And Automatic is gifting Squidly a subscription. Everybody give him a round of applause. Oh, no, man. I mean, spending money on your own show. You know? How am I not going to give that up? But anyway, so I got a couple of things that are good and some things that need some improvements about Tekken 8. Let's take a gander, shall we? And preemptive apology. All right. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, first, the game is super exciting to watch. It's like a breath of fresh air. The Aeris, I tend to agree with Aeris a lot. I think him and I share a lot of opinions. And the way Aeris put it was that Tekken 8 was such a defensive game where turtling was almost encouraged.
You mean 7.
What?
You mean Tekken 7? Sorry, I'm wrong.
Oh, did I say Tekken 8? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tekken 7 was a game that was... It rewarded slow play, right? Like, if you could turtle and you would win. So, Harada and the team over at Bandai Namco, the Tekken team, decided to completely tackle that challenge, and I think they succeeded with flying colors. The game is so much fun. You can kind of go ham, as we saw even this weekend with Sokobi winning over a Shadow 20Z with King. Like, he would do some crazy, like... throw mix-ups. He was like using like a bunch of crazy shit. It was awesome. It's almost like you're having like a different, like, you grew up with like just vanilla ice cream and then you have cookies and ice cream for the first time. It's like, whoa, this can be a thing. It's pretty crazy. I'm a fan. Next, this is the first Tekken game that I have ever seen that has actual tutorials, right? They have a whole mode dedicated to teaching people how to play the game competitively. It's called Arcade Quest. It's really, really hokey and a little bit kitschy, but it is like an abbreviated FGC experience. It's awesome. It's literally like, oh, you go to this arcade, you enter a local tournament, and then, like, you know, you have the one guy who's an asshole because there are assholes everywhere in every community. And then, like, you got the one guy who's like, hey, kid, I see you're new. Let me show you the ropes. And then you get integrated in a community and you have a great time. and then you start traveling, and then you have fun, you know? So, and the entire time they keep, as a former teacher, one of the most important things I think they did is that they teach you one concept at a time, so you get to focus on one thing. First, it's like, oh, here's how you use the heat system. And then you focus on, well, like one whole tournament is just you focusing on the heat system. Next is tech and air combos. Here's how tech and air combos work. Then, like, they focus just on that, and you get, like, little missions, and it's, they designed it so well. I'm super happy with it. It's an actual Tekken tutorial, which, to my understanding, is, like, a miracle, right? Like, that, you, if you would have told somebody who was playing, like, Tekken 6 that there would be a mode in Tekken that would teach you how to play, people would think you're nuts. So, I'm super happy with that. It was really fun. And this is the best the netcode has ever been for Tekken. This is a really low bar, but it's really good compared to other Tekkens. Is it the best netcode ever? No. Is it good? Yeah. You can actually have matches, even if like they're a little stuttery, they're playable. So you can play your friends and not worry about delay. It's great. And if you're somebody who doesn't know any better and like delay-based netcode, you can set it. You can set it in the options. So yeah, they got a little something out there for everybody. I'm a fan. Excuse me. Next.
All right.
Yeah, I forgot to breathe and then I had the cough. I'm getting excited, man. I like Tekken. Tekken 8's cool.
I'll give my microphone.
Let's get into the stuff that needs improvements. First, what the hell is wrong with the Tekken team and Bandai Namco? There are security issues with this game, for those of you that don't know. If you're playing online, somebody who, if you play against another PC player, they can get your IP address. And that's really bad. Why? We were shown that this weekend. A couple of big time streamers actually got DDoSed, which is a denial service attack, which is basically they just overload your internet and your internet don't work no more. That's really bad. And this was an issue in Tekken 7 too. So the fact that it's still there is very worrisome. So I really hope that they take a good look at that, because that is like the one thing that I think has hampered this experience for almost everybody, right? Nobody wants to play PC players. Everybody's just sitting there. If you play on PC, you're just sitting there saying no until you get like a console wired connection. And if you watch Aris like I do, you see the frustration happen. It's deflating. It's very sad. Next, the optimization in this game is rough. And I say optimization from a coding perspective. This game is 108 gigabytes. Just to give you a comparison, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, is 45 gigabytes. And that game is like this whole thing, right? So while there is a lot of content in Tekken, and it is Unreal 5, everything looks really pretty, everything takes up so much room, right? So that's a little bit tough, especially for people who are playing on console where you have like a 256 gigabyte hard drive. This takes like a quarter, like not even a quarter, like almost three quarters of that, right? So that's a little bit rough. I wish they would have spent a little more time trying to optimize stuff. Hopefully that's a thing they look at in the future. And they had some launch issues. For those of you that were here on the stream, I played one match in online mode. And then the game crashed. And then I tried to play another match. Game crashed. Tried it a third time. Three strikes and you're out. And then I gave up and went to bed. So, luckily, things have been getting fixed. I've been playing offline. I've been playing online while not streaming. And that's been a blast. So, it's nice to see that they're looking at it. Harada confirmed that there are a couple of issues with the replay servers that they're looking into. From what I've seen, I haven't experienced any of that because I haven't played Tekken in a couple days. But from what I've seen, that's already fixed, so they're on top of some of the stuff. So that's pretty cool. But overall, this installation of Tekken 8 was very worrisome, right? Especially for a game that relies so much on legacy skill, right? Like, Tekken has been largely the same for, like, decades at this point. Heck, Tekken 7 has been around for like almost a decade at this point. So seeing a new installation and they were taking so many chances with it pay off and it feel like I said, a new flavor of ice cream, a breath of fresh air, is amazing. And seeing that reflected in the tournament this weekend and how exciting things were, I don't think it's just a honeymoon phase thing. I think the game is actually going to be pretty exciting to watch moving forward. So that are my those are my thoughts. That are my thoughts on this on Tekken 7. Tekken 8, damn it. I don't know numbers, man. I'm illiterate. Those are my thoughts on Tekken 8. If I were to give it a score, I give it a 4.3. Mainly because the security issues are a big like a huge deflating factor on it. And some of the launch issues also like kind of killed the hype. But something that I think is like the most truth I've heard in a while, Majin Obama said this. Games like Tekken and Street Fighter, like they're like every game has like a level of like BS that you're willing to deal with before you just give up. Uni, not as much of a tolerance level as something like Tekken, right? Like if Uni did have those PC issues, like if somebody was trying Uni for the first time and it automatically didn't work on PC, they'd be like, ah, I hate this, I'm going to refund it. But if it's Tekken, where it's a bigger game and it's a more established, like, mainstream, it's weird to say mainstream because our community is so niche to begin with. But
see that in a second.
Yeah, it's, you know, something like Tekken or something like Street Fighter. I mean, Street Fighter V is a great example of that, where there were so many issues with it, and people, like, just kind of muddled through it.
There's no way. If you and Ken were slapped on it, it would not last.
Yeah, like I can only imagine if like something like I think DNF Duel is a perfect example where like there were a couple of things here and there that kind of hampered that game, and people just completely moved away from it, and the popularity of it has waned quite a bit, both in the community and the. Although granted, like there's some backgrounds. I don't know, but. All that to say, Tekken 8's fun. I'm having a blast. Congratulations to Sakobi. I put him in losers in the Arcade UFO tournament in 2017. And I'm not going to mention the part where he was playing Heihachi, which is not his main, and then I met him again at losers finals, and he actually played his main, and I lost. But congratulations to Sakobi for winning Frosty Faustings, and congratulations to the Tekken team on a pretty cool release. I'm excited, you know. In my view, things can only go up from here, and they're already at a pretty good spot.
Yep. It does seem to me like when the fighting game is released, they crank up the offense and the options like way high. Like too high, but and I suspect the reason why they do that is to not make the game boring, or not just for viewers, but for the players, like maybe newer players as well. And then they gradually tone it back a little. That's exactly what happened with Street Fighter V, and I think the same thing happened with Street Fighter VI and Tekken 8. I hope so.
Yeah, I think there's also a level of like game familiarity that helps with that, right? Like especially with Tekken, where Tekken is such a knowledge check type of game, where you know you can just like hit a bunch of strings, and if the player opposite of you doesn't know how to deal with those strings, they're just gonna eat everything, right? But if they have seen those strings before and they know what to do, then you're the one that's screwed. So I think like as people get...
patoot.
Yes. So I think as people get more familiar with Tekken 8, I think the game is going to... Well, my assumption is that the game is going to slow down a little bit as people get more familiar with it. But again, like because they're putting so much stock on like the aggression part of it, I think like there's going to be a little bit of a good flavor. The thing that did kind of worry me a little bit, and I should have said this during the review, but I'll say it now, is the gray life recovery stuff is crazy. There were times where, like, in the tournament at Frosty Faustings where people were, like, a hit away from death, and then all of a sudden they have, like, half their health bar back. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
That was a Street Fighter Cross Tekken thing as well. You would tag, you put your... You put your character in the back, you attack him out, and then recover health, and then you know, you kill your combos. Yeah, the gray health thing is a really interesting mechanic, in my opinion, but it's very underutilized by like Street Fighter V and Street Fighter VI. Street Fighter VI actually has it, too, but you barely ever see it.
And the crazy thing with it in Tekken 8 is you don't recover that health over time. It stays there, and the only way you recover is if you hit your opponent. So, it's pretty
crazy. Does that mean that longer combos recover more health or more hits, or is it like, is it related to the strength of the hits?
My assumption is yes. I don't know enough about it. I haven't seen enough of it. I haven't seen enough of it to know. But the one thing I did see is that if you do a Rage Art, which is the Tekken version of a super, that does not recover your health. So you have to actually do like a combo to get some of the health back. So
interesting. It'd be interesting to see combos that are tailored to recover gray health. Like you have corner combos, you have corner carry combos, you have wall splash, and then I have combos for gray health recovery. That'd be pretty cool.
Damn, it's like Killer Instinct, right? Where you have like the combos that are battery combos that like recharge your meter. You have health recovery combos for some characters, and you have like grab combos and stuff. That's a pretty good point. I'm curious to see how that rolls for sure. And it seems like it's very well thought out. I haven't even touched much of the single player stuff, but I saw like bits and pieces of the story, and it seems like it's a love letter to like Tekken fans. So. Who was that? Oh, I was watching Max play like the last battle, and spoiler alert, if you're gonna play it later, so cover your ears if you don't want to hear this. But throughout the story mode, like you play like different versions of characters. So like at one point in the last battle, like it was Jin with like his Tekken 3 moveset, and they started playing like the Tekken 3 music. It was like, it's wild. It's wild. Awesome. That's such a cool idea. It reminds me of Metal Gear Solid 4. The final battle with Ocelot.
Oh, no, like yeah,
where like he Ocelot goes through like his whole thing where like he uses like the CQC that he had in the first one, and then he does the stuff that Liquid did, and then like he has like the end or whatever. So yeah,
plays a different music too when it goes through the phases.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. It has that kind of vibe. Like that's exactly where my brain went. So they, from what I've seen, they did a great job with the story stuff. So. And that's Tekken 8, and that's Uni 2, and those are our reviews. So, man, I want to play Tekken 8 now. I also want to play
Uni 2. I just bought it, so I'm probably going to test it out, maybe even tonight.
I also just bought Suicide Squad. I'm going to try out that game. That game looks so fun. I'm also very easily impressed with video games, so I'm just going to have myself time.
The direct opposite.
Next. What, something I wanted to talk about, and it's something that I saw I can't remember if it was today or if it was yesterday. But for those of you that don't know, there is something called the Streamer Awards. It's run by a streamer / influencer / social media personality, Cutie Cinderella. And she has been running this Streamer Awards show. I think this is the third year. And she started it as something that she would do for her friends just to get everybody in the same room and then be like, haha, look at these awards. And like last year, there was a little bit of a weird response from the FGC where like people were upset that there was no FGC thing, but it's like, it doesn't matter. Shit's just for fun. Exactly. But this year, there is a fighting game category. She caved. I'm kidding. there is a fighting game category, and we got four nominations, and the four nominations, for those of you that saw it, are Hungrybox, Etoiles, I hope I'm pronouncing their name right, that's the person who did the huge Melee tournament with like the super high production value, Sejam, and Maximilian. So those four got nominated, and the nomination, once the nominations are out, people get to vote on who they want. It's kind of like the Oscars, except it's public and it makes a little bit more sense. So while it is just a straight up popularity contest, something that I thought was a huge missed opportunity for us, and I'm specifically talking to Sejam and Max. I love you both. You're both great. They're both friends of the show. They've been on this show more than once even. But I think we missed a huge opportunity to get more eyes into, or more people into the FGC. Interested in the FGC. In the webpage, if you go to, I think it's streamerawards.com, there's a voting page there. They have all the categories you can vote for, and cool, like the super cool thing they did is you can click on their name and then it takes you to a clip. The clip is selected by the person who is nominated, right? So this is their chance to like appeal to whoever is sitting there and voting, right? And since this whole thing is kind of focused outside of the FGC, right? It's focused more on like the mainstream stuff. Like there's FPS games, there's strategy games, there's MMO games, blah, blah, blah. And then there's also just like just chatting streamers. There's like big names, glitz, glamour, blah, 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 blah. So having our little corner on there is such a good opportunity to get some eyes on our stuff. And we fumbled the bag. And by we, I mean Sage M and Max. Now, you might... So the reason I'm bringing this up is because the clips that they chose are very good... are very good clips, but they're very good FGC clips, right? So if somebody who does not know what fighting games are, or that even that competitive fighting games exist, they're going to look at those clips and they're going to be like, what the hell am I looking at? What is this? Right? I think Sage M's clip is actually a really cool clip of him like calling out what his opponent's going to do in Street Fighter 6 before his opponent does it. And then everything comes true. He's like Sage M or Damas. And Max's clip is him doing the Street Fighter 3... Evo Moment 37 trial.
Crystal where, Cube, who made that the mod, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Yeah.
No, and the really cool thing is I had no idea this was a thing, but when you complete it, like, there's shadows of people, like, getting up and clapping just like the real video. It's great. But, like I said, if you show that to somebody who doesn't understand anything, like, it doesn't matter. So, if Sage M and Max did not pick those clips... it is because they did not answer the email for them to submit their own clips, so it's still their fault. But if they chose their own clips, we could have done a little bit of a better job. And I was watching a, like, ever since we had S-Fan on the show, I've kind of, like, been, like, the door has opened for, like, all the streamers here in Texas and all the crazy shit these people do. And I mean that in a good way. I found Maya. Maya is somebody who like streams because she has an animal sanctuary she wants to pay for. So sweet. It's she's crazy. Like she just streams like her going around and like feeding an emu or like I don't know, like doing a bunch of other shit. Like there's African bullfrogs and stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's really cool. And I wound up catching her going through these nominations and I was like, I wonder what somebody outside of the FGC or how somebody outside of the FGC would react to these clips. So here's that reaction.
It's very low, but I can hear it.
Oh, is it? Ah. Right? Look at the difference in reaction. Now that I have the volume, let me say this is, so that's her reaction to that clip, right? And that's such an exciting clip, right? Because it's like all this shit's happening. They're introducing the players. Anybody in and out of the FGC is going to know that shit's pretty exciting. Now, this is her reaction.
Zero gameplay.
Which
is boring. Zero gameplay.
Yeah, but it's introducing the players. It's making it about the people who are playing, right? Less than the game. And I think that's the way that we're going to be able to get people to actually give a shit about this stuff. That we like, for the people who don't already like it, right?
Yeah, right. It's not even the production, but it's also what it leads to. It's the way you're treating your players and you're highlighting not even the game, but why it's important what you're watching. It doesn't matter if you understand what's happening or not, but it makes it look like a big deal because of all these fireworks and explosions.
Yeah, and it's while cool. And while Sage MMX don't necessarily have clips of that on their stream, Sage MMX has a show called Will It Kill, where you literally bet on whether the life bar is going to end or not. Literally, a baby can enjoy that show, right? And that's like me saying something like, that's good. That's good, right? Max ran like Twitch Rivals, and he's done like a bunch of stuff. He has a bunch of friends that, you know, they all play games together, and they get hype, and it's pretty crazy, and it's really fun to watch. Where's all that, right? Anyway, now that we have audio, let me show you the other thing.
I don't get it. Maximilian.
She's looking away.
Yep.
Hooray!
What the hell?
Dude.
She's shaking her
head. Oh my god. This is so fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's a different language.
Yo, what's crazy is I'm sitting here watching the clip. I was just gonna say, what's crazy is I'm sitting here watching these clips, but it feels like the equivalent of watching someone from outside of a coffee shop laugh really hard.
Anyway, the equivalent of watching somebody from outside of a coffee shop laugh really hard, right? Like, that's not inclusivity, that's exclusivity. So I think there was a huge missed opportunity there for us to put our best foot forward. And by us, I mean them. I wish I could say us, but you guys didn't vote for me, so fuck you. I'm kidding. Kind of. It's one of those things where I was curious to see how that played out, and it sadly played out how I thought it would, right? Where, like you said it best, like it's like seeing like people speak a different language. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about this because I don't know enough about the prestige of this award.
It's not. It's just something incentives. For fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a whole lot of effort to just post a clip and then that's pretty much, you know, vote for me kind of thing. But I guess there's an assumption of responsibility that they should put a clip out there and put their best foot forward. But do they need to?
Yeah.
Because I mean, at some point, I mean, I think the person who has the production is going to win clean because they have something that's easy to connect with. Fighting games are not going to be easy to connect with. So I wouldn't really blame them. But there's part of me that thinks that they don't care. But I did see Sejam tweet to like Maximilian, like this is me versus Max, and that was pretty funny. But I don't know how much of an impact it really would have.
I just think it was an opportunity for a different audience who probably doesn't even know that competitive fighting games is a thing. See people who stream fighting games and like their love for fighting games and see like this entire like side of games that they like, you know, everybody's like, I played Street Fighter, whatever, Mortal Kombat, blah 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 blah. But like they're like, yeah, I beat up my brother or sister and I'm the best in my house. So like that's like that opportunity to like show those kind of people like what, like that there's like this vibrant community and like we all enjoy the shit out of fighting games and we love it. But yeah, anyway, that was just my thought. And I like I said before, am I a little bit upset out of bitterness because I didn't get voted in? Maybe. But I think my point's still valid.
I think you're right. Yeah. But it also seems to me like something you could easily put in the, all right, that's cool. Maybe you got more things to be concerned with. I mean, and the thing I don't want to say in the front is, once you get to a certain point in your career as streaming and you get the right numbers, like, do you really need, do you need more? Do you need more responsibility? I don't know. I feel like they're okay. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm still right, though. I'm kidding. No, that is a good point. And, you know, representation matters. And that's the moral of the story.
Should have made it $1 million award, $2 million total tournament.
No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it is just like a fun thing that they're doing and they're putting a lot of effort. It's really cool. I don't know if you guys have watched it. I'm somebody who I hate award shows, anything, right? Just because like comparing things against each other where everything is opinion based, recipe for disaster almost every time. And there's a lot of drama about it every year with a ton of award show, right?
It's hard to do it right.
Yeah. But like at the same time, I think the whole reason for this to exist is to get a bunch of streamers in the same room, right? And have everybody like at least celebrate how cool streaming is and that like everybody's like doing this. So us getting a little corner of it, I think, is really, really cool. And I appreciate that.
Oh, is it an in-person event?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. a little more prestigious.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like, it's a popularity contest at the end of the day, right? And is it going to make or break the world? No, it's a fun thing that, you know, is now turning bigger because people are more excited about it, right? There's like almost zero stakes to it. But it's neat. So
I like it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it. I forget what the... Hold on. I'm going to pull up the dates because I should have at least, like, done that. I'm going to streamerawards.com. That is not the website.
What did you just pull up? Oh, no. I'm going to find out. You type .com in. I always go to Google.
The streamerawards.com. Sorry. If you go to the Streamer Awards, you can read all about it. You can vote. You can do all the cool stuff. You can even get tickets if you want to go. This is fighting game adjacent in one way or another. They announced that Pokimane is the co-host, and she owns Evo. So,
apparently leaving Twitch.
Yeah, I saw that today. That's pretty significant. Curious to see what's going to happen. Saturday, February 17th. So, there you go. Saturday is February 17th. You can go to thestreamerawards.com to vote. Go put in some votes for our FGC brethren and then take a look at some other people. Open up your mind to some pretty cool... Like, people do some pretty cool streaming stuff, man. Like, there was a guy there that, like, broke the bike land speed record on stream. That shit's pretty cool.
What?
Yeah, like, he was riding a bicycle and he hit, like, 90 miles an hour or some shit.
I have one more thought concerning this matter.
Okay.
The clip might not even matter that much. Because it is a popularity contest.
Sure.
What you post on Twitter may be more impactful of the clip that's showcased.
Sure, but look at it this way. You never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Okay. I would be curious then, who is being impressed? If it's a fighting game category, I'm assuming fighting game people will vote for it.
Sure.
I don't know if it's all like you vote for everything at once and you look at the clips and
so, okay. There. All right, hold on.
Which I guess to that effect, you would have more people outside the fighting game community who would be looking at that.
Yes. And that is exactly my point. Now, let me go ahead and do you one better and do this thing right here off screen and say this sentence so that I am filling dead air. All
right. Right.
I literally just pulled this up. This is thestreamerawards.com. This is my computer. Hello, everybody. You click on it, and then you click vote. And it's an entire list of every single, like, best creative arts, MMO, strategy, chess, software and game development streamer, best fighting game streamer. And these are all randomized, by the way. So it's not like putting one person up. Like, it's not a set order, so it doesn't get influenced that way. Speedrun, Battle Royale, FPS, Rising Star, Best Roleplay Streamer, Minecraft, IRL, Streamer of the Year, blah, 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 right? So it's like you go through this entire thing, and I really urge people to go through this just because even if you don't give a shit about the voting, I don't, but you get introduced to some pretty cool things that you otherwise wouldn't see, right? Like, for example, Rubber Ross. I've heard of Rubber Ross before. What's his deal? Okay, let's skip to the... He's getting excited. What's he doing?
This makes me feel like I'm outside of a coffee shop and people are laughing inside of it.
Yeah, but anyway, so he does animation shit, right? So, yeah, and they're doing Gardic Phone, which is pretty cool. But anyway, you know, just something to think about. Not mean.
You know, I'm on your side. I'm upset too. There's no World Strongest Lab category.
I know. We're gonna protest outside of it. It's in LA on the 17th. So we're gonna go, and they do have a red carpet event for it too, which I think is hilarious in the best way possible. I'm curious to see like all of these like huge, big time streamers that are like making millions of dollars, and then like I don't know, like Sejam, who is also a big time streamer making millions of dollars, I'm sure. Walks up and they're like, "Hey, who the hell are you?" And he's like, "I'm Sejam." And then, like, let's see, whatever. Although I think Sejam knows that crew because he commentated a Beyblade tournament, if I'm not mistaken, a while ago. But anyway,
sounds familiar.
So he's known around there, around those parts. But yeah, that's my spiel. It was just one of those things where I saw it happen and I was like, "Man, this could have been cool if we thought about it a little bit." But at the same point, you're kind of right. Is it their responsibility to think about shit like this? I mean, if they want to win.
Winning's for losers.
But yeah, that was that was that. And I think we should move on from there because I think that we spent way too much time on this one thing. whoever the editor is going to have a blast. It's me. I'm kidding. I will have a blast because Automatic's here. If it was just me, I would not be having a blast. Let's get to some announcements, shall we? Well, I have two really big announcements about this show and surrounding this show. First, literally before we went live today. By the way, I don't know if you know this about this show, but this show has been cursed ever since its inception. And the curse is that breaking news happens right when the show ends. Usually right when the show ends is when good shit happens, right? Like we'll say, thanks everybody, we'll see you next time. Click the offline button, go to Twitter. It's like, new game announcement, or like... like DLC season 8 or whatever. Evo, right before I went live, I saw this today. Evo has finally broken that curse. Do you believe it? For those of you that have been around for a long time, can you believe it?
Not upset about it.
They announced the announcement show is happening right before our show. Wait a minute, 8 p.m. Eastern. Oh. Fuck. I looked at, God damn it. I looked at the PT. I was like, 5 p.m. sick. God damn it. Never mind. I take it all back. For those of you listening to the audio version, I pulled up the thing and saw the actual time.
Oh, that's funny.
Dude, illiteracy is a curse.
It gets funnier the more I think about it, the funnier it gets. Because you spent all that time about, like, oh, we had this curse. We just, news comes out just as we finish the show. But guess what? Finally!
It happened again, is what I meant to say.
Well, I mean, this is the conflict of the schedule. At least you got the news, but it's...
Yeah. No, I do appreciate that they put this out right before our show. The announcement of the announcement show.
Well, you said, God damn it. The two D's that are separated, they were clearly pronounced.
I really need to learn how to read. I'll get there one day.
All right, it's the brand of the show now, I guess.
Yeah.
I like it.
Always cursed. Although, you know what? I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to end the show, and then I'm going to watch it. If you want to stick around to watch it, you're more than welcome to as well.
Yeah, sure.
And... with the Evo announcement show announced, I have an announcement about the announcement of the announcement show. For those of you that have been around for a hot minute, you guys know that Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jurek, may his retirement be peaceful, always had a... Where the hell is it? I was
talking about
work.
Ace King. It's like an in loving memory of borderline eulogy.
Well, I mean, he is retired. but all this to say, Steve used to always have a contest where we would guess how many games would be at Evo and what games would be at Evo, and the winner would win something. So, ladies and gents, I'm happy to announce that Steve, in his retired state, has brought this contest back. So, at the best of five, immediately after the show, I'm going to put this on our Discord. If you're in our chat right now, you can click exclamation point Discord. If you're not in our chat right now, you can go to bestofvshow.com, http://bestofvshow.com, and click the big Discord button there to join our Discord. I'm going to put... Sorry, I saw you did it, but the bot's not working. Great. Things are just flying off the handle today. Anyway,
in our Discord. New pals.
Yeah, that's true. but I'll post it in there, and you can fill it out with your guesses. And whoever wins, do you want to take a guess at what they're going to win?
Not a case of beer, is it?
No. It's Steve's contest, so I couldn't influence it that much. But you're going to win a pizza. I will personally buy you a pizza if you get it right. And there are a bunch of rules and stipulations in there. Just read the document. You'll be fine. So, it's back. Steve, through retirement, was able to, like, one last... Well, he said that last year, too. One last final hurrah. And then he, like, keeps creating schedules every once in a while. So, who knows? But the contest is back. Like I said, after the show, I'm going to post it in our Discord. And you can predict which games will be at Evo, how many games will be at Evo. And if you get it right, I'll buy you pizza. And if more than one person gets it right, then we're going to go to random.org. And we're going to send it to one person because I am unemployed.
One of those pizza, one of those pizza buffets. Everybody.
Oh, man. Actually, that's a great idea. That's going to be my new business since I'm unemployed. Just a pizza buffet. Send it. Go around every tournament. Pay like $30 to get in. Eat as much pizza as you can. I'd go out of business in like 30 seconds. I mean, I'd be eating all the pizza. Anyway, so that's back. So that's pretty cool. So big shout outs to Steve, Ace King, Opsu Jerk for putting that together for us. I'll post that in our Discord in a little bit. And you don't have to fill that out because ours will be recorded separately. And whoever wins between us, if you're down for it, we'll have a quesadilla pizza bet for whoever gets it right. Are you down?
Yeah, yeah. I was about to pull up right now. Like, how many games is it?
Let's shake it. Let's shake on it. All right, sick. Enjoy that quesadilla from last week, by the way. Next. Now, this, as stupid as things have been in my brain, this one's a little bit on the serious side. Excuse me. Last year, we heard about Ari Flo's passing in October, which is terrible, and it has made us very sad. However, something that he was used to do with his community every year that I thought was like the coolest shit ever is he would always run the Capcom Pro Tour CPU tournament, where he would take the bracket for the CPT finals, and then he would just let the CPUs have at it. And that would be his prediction, kind of like running Madden games for the Super Bowl. So, after speaking to a couple people, while not everything is nailed down yet, I'm happy to formally announce that most likely on Wednesday, February 14th, which is 2 days before the CPT finals starts, we're going to have a CPT CPU tournament in memory of Flo, and we're going to make it a charity fundraiser in his name so that we can put forth some good into the world in his name and make ourselves feel a little bit better and reminisce about how cool he was and how funny he was. So,
yeah, woo!
While I don't have anything like in concrete just now, including what the charity will be, I'm waiting on some final things before I announce the charity. There may or may not be some guest commentators. Aside from, I spoke to you about it. You said you were down. So, aside from Automatic, there may or may not be some guest commentators. There may or may not be some hilarious storylines that are going to develop. But either way, we're going to make it a memorial for Flo. We're going to reminisce, show off some funny moments, have a good laugh, reminisce, like think about him in a positive light, and then put some forth some good into the world in his name. So,
that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. That's something I've been wanting to do for a while, steal that idea from him. And I think this is the best way that I'm going to be able to use that idea. And putting his name on it and making it a charity donation, I think, is like literally best case scenario for what we have available to us at this point. So I'll make a more like formal thing with like graphics and shit, but that's going to be happening.
Sweet. Yeah, I was mildly concerned. I wanted to get like some blessings from, you know, whoever is.
Yeah, I spoke to Ruby, who is the person who broke the news of his passing. And she was like, yeah, this is great. So
awesome.
Just getting a bunch of stuff finalized before it's all set in stone. But it is happening. Cool. On February 14th, most likely. It's, again, not set in stone, but most likely February 14th, which is a Wednesday. And then that Friday is when the last chance qualifiers for CPT, the Capcom Pro Tour final, starts. So Gonna be a good time. Gonna be a good time. I can't wait. Great. Gonna be a good time. I used to, for those of you that don't know, I worked with Flo closely. He was my coach, so he taught me quite a bit about Street Fighter. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd literally like be here at this point, like enjoying fighting game stuff. And I was his YouTube manager for a hot minute, so I stared at his face hours on end editing videos. So yeah, so I got to know him pretty well, and like he's a super cool dude, and I used to be a part of his community when he was streaming, so this would be pretty nice. I'm looking forward to it. All right. I forgot to breathe again. But throughout all that, I think that is the end.
My friend, you're like held together by twigs, popsicle sticks, and Elmer's glue. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it all works out. It's, you know,
we're stumbling our way through life, as it were. Nope. But I'm wearing a silk robe and I feel great about it.
I'm wearing a Wrangler t-shirt from Walmart that my dad bought me. Cheap.
Hey, that sounds like it has way more sentimental value than what I'm wearing. Cool. I can't think of anything else. Was there anything else you wanted to chat about before we say goodnight? Nope. Sick. Well, ladies and gents, this has been another episode of The Best of Five. Episode 299. Next week is going to be episode 300. Shit, I need to figure out something to do over there.
We gotta figure out more things to fuck up around here for episode 300.
Yeah. So we'll figure something out for episode 300. We'll have a party. Pizza party. Gotta have a pizza party. Quesaburria pizza party. Oh, damn, Quesaburria pizza? Okay, sorry.
There are pics. It exists. I've heard about it. You want to talk about RVs again, or do you want to, like,
yeah, let's wrap it up. This has been
another beer.
This has been another episode of Best Five. I'm Elon. You say
have
goodbye.
A good night, and then see you later.
Okay, that's our sign off now. See you later.